My guest at this time is Frank Gaffney. He's the president of the Center for Security Policy. He also served as an assistant secretary of defense in the Reagan administration. Reagan's great ally during his 8 years in the White House, particularly on foreign policy issues, was British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, who held that position from 1979 to 1990. Of course, she passed away on Monday morning at the age of 87. And Frank is here to explain the importance of that relationship back in the 1980s and how the Thatcher-Reagan partnership, as well as the critical roles played by others, helped to end the Cold War. And Frank, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, though. It's a very sad day.
It is, certainly. But a great alliance between Reagan and Thatcher throughout the 1980s. Did Reagan know entering office, based on what he had seen in the time that Thatcher had already been prime minister, that she was going to be one of his strongest allies moving forward?
I think he did. I think he recognized in her a leader cut from basically the same cloth as himself, from a working-class family stock, person who had worked their way up through the political system of their respective countries step by step, and who had a real vision of the way they thought the world ought to be and the leadership skills to try to bring it about. So I think long before President Reagan became President Reagan, he knew he had a soulmate in Margaret Thatcher.
And, of course, the U.S. policy leading up to the Reagan presidency had been basically containment, détente, and that sort of thing. And, obviously, the U.S., given our arsenal, our money, our bully pulpit, was going to be the lead player in trying to confront the Soviet empire. But what role did Thatcher play in either assisting Reagan or continuing to spread the message of freedom and that communism wasn't just something to be managed but something to be defeated?
Again, I think that this was one of those issues on which they had a very fundamental agreement probably before either of them came to office. They may not have known or worked with one another, but I think they were both rooted in this notion that communism was an evil, a blight on the world, and that it must be rolled back. It wasn't enough to just try to contain it or limit its predations in the world. It had to be destroyed. And when Reagan came to office, we now know from the public release of some highly classified national security decision directives that he signed out in the early years of his first term, he set about in a very deliberate, comprehensive, systematic, disciplined way to do just that. And in those efforts, I think he knew he had and worked to fully develop this partner in Margaret Thatcher.
How much did she help him? Obviously, he could have just said what he said, even if he didn't have a strong ally in the British Prime Minister's office, but whether it was spreading the word across Western Europe or simply seeing another major power in that role. What was her functional role in that, and how much did that matter to him?
Well, you know, there's been for many years talk of a special relationship between the United States and the United Kingdom. And in that time, I think there were leaders of both parties here and there who had a fondness or, in some cases, a personal chemistry with their counterparts. But I think what was unique about this period was that the special relationship was really a very operational thing. Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, and lest we forget, John Paul II, then the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, worked really collaboratively on national security, foreign policy, most especially issues with a specific goal of trying to liberate the people who were enslaved by the Soviet Union, in notably John Paul II's native Poland and elsewhere in Eastern Europe, and of course ultimately the Soviet Union itself. And I think what Margaret Thatcher brought to that was sort of the European pillar of this free world partnership, and it made a lot of other things possible. I remember I was involved at the time, Greg, working for President Reagan in the Defense Department, at what I think was a critical moment in the course of the Cold War, namely the deployment of long-range, what are called intermediate nuclear forces, INF forces, to Europe. And one of the countries into which they were going to be deployed was Margaret Thatcher's Britain, but there were four others on the continent. And I think her steadfastness in seeing that through was critical to President Reagan's success, and in turn helped really shatter the Soviet belief that they could bully or coerce or otherwise intimidate the West into continuing to yield to its domination. And that was the beginning, I'm convinced, of the end for the Soviet Union. And again, no small measure of credit is due Margaret Thatcher.
And Thatcher and Reagan were kindred spirits also economically, promoting the free market, tramping down government intrusion into various industries and so forth. And I'm guessing that that approach to the way society functioned is also part and parcel of their belief that all parts of the world should have that opportunity and not be under the ruling fist of socialists or communists or whoever it happened to be in the Eastern Bloc or other parts of the world.
No question about it. There was a shared sentiment that tyranny, in whatever form it came, whether it was the tyranny of governments or the tyranny of labor unions, or the fact, for that matter, you know, a tyranny of monopolistic capitalism, I think, were all regarded as threats to the kind of limited government and, as you say, free market principles that these folks held dear. And at the end of their time, I think there's no question that Great Britain and the United States were both far freer countries, far more in alignment with kind of the founding principles of this country, really, than they were when they came to office.
We're talking with Frank Gaffney. You served as Assistant Secretary of Defense under President Reagan, now President of the Center for Security Policy. And Frank, one place where Reagan and Thatcher seem to diverge a little bit is the public reaction upon their deaths, whether or not Democrats and liberals really did have a coming around on Ronald Reagan. They seem to embrace him in some ways based on the issue from time to time. And in some ways, you hear President Obama even refer to him when you have to assume that back in the 80s, he probably was an ardent Reagan supporter. Yet when Thatcher passed away today, the vitriol was seen almost immediately. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that by the time President Reagan left office, even most of his most critical foes had come around to the idea that he was a good man and an amiable man, a man who reached across the aisle to his political opponents and tried to find in them something that he could both appreciate and laugh with and work to some common end. Margaret Thatcher was more of a polarizing figure. I think there's no getting around it. And she was surely detested by her political foes, and I don't think she made any secret of the low regard she had for them. So to some extent, I think that's what's going on. And I think, too, it reflects what's happened to the United Kingdom since, you know, she left office. I think there's been a lot of backsliding towards the nanny state, which she railed against, and sort of the social socialization, really, of politics there that I think she would have abhorred. And to some extent, my guess is that that explains why she's now being reviled by some who fancy that system and didn't think much of her.
You've already explained in great detail about why she was such a vital partner of the president, such a critical player in the war against communism. As kind of a thumbnail, as we exit here, Frank, how do you think she'll best be remembered by history if history is accurate?
If it's accurate, and that's always a question, if it's accurate, I think that Margaret Thatcher will be regarded as one of the people, along with John Paul II and Ronald Reagan, who really transformed the world towards the end of the Cold War. They brought it to a satisfactory conclusion. They liberated tens, if not hundreds of millions of people, and they did it without firing a shot. And I think that's a remarkable legacy.
Frank, we'll have to call it there. Thank you very much for your time today, as always.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you, Greg.
You bet. Frank Gaffney is president of the Center for Security Policy. He is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense, held that position during the Reagan administration. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.